Good morning, everybody.
I'm Greg Clark. I'm the incumbent priest at All Saints Cochrane. So not very far away. Good to see you all.
So I'm going to talk to you about a little bit about the gospel reading that we just heard. And I want to talk to you about the theme of hospitality. I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I'm sure it's been drawn to your attention. This part of the gospel of Luke is all about the theme of hospitality over. It's a little bit relentless, actually, over and over again. And I'll just draw your attention to something that's probably been pointed out to you, and then we'll get into the story. In Greek, I'm showing off my Greek here. I have like very, very little, let me tell you. I can basically enough to order off the menu in a Greek restaurant. But in Greek, the word oxenos means both guest and host. So if you're speaking in Greek, literally, and somebody says to you, who is that? And you say, no, it means guest, host, and stranger at the same time. So the point I want to make is, if you're speaking in Greek, and you say, who is that person over there? If you say that's a stranger, you're also saying it's a guest at the same time. Imagine that's wired into your head. And then also the same word becomes host. Very interesting. But I want to talk. I just want to again talk to you about this reading a little bit. A number of years ago, our parish back in Winnipeg, mostly my wife and I, hosted a family from Ethiopia. A nice young couple. They'd escaped from the communists during the 80s and the 80s and 90s, and they'd made their way to Winnipeg, which was a great surprise, let me tell you, to them. I won't go into the details, but he said, I thought you were lying about how cold it was going to be. But anyway, so they taught us a lot. It's kind of Middle Eastern culture still. I don't know, has anybody been to the Middle East or the Mediterranean? Well, you know what people are like with their hospitality, right? It's, sometimes we use the phrase aggressive hospitality, like you are going to be my guest. That's all there is to it. And we learned a lot about hospitality from them, which was great. We thought it was mostly going to be helping them with a few tasks here and there, getting licenses, that kind of thing. But it was a lot more than that. It was really came down to the giving and receiving of hospitality, which unexpected. Anyway, they came to Winnipeg. There was an Ethiopian community that had formed, and the one thing they didn't have, they were very devout Ethiopian Orthodox. The one thing they didn't have was, you're going to recognize this word, an Abba. Right? It's like the New Testament. Abba. Didn't have a father. Didn't have a priest. They always called him Abba. They didn't have Abba. And they had priests coming in. The priests from Alexandria in Egypt came in once. Priests from Toronto came in once. But they really want Abba to come. So they found this nice young priest from Ethiopia that came. In the Ethiopian church, you can be either celibate or you can be married. You have a choice depending on kind of which path you're taking. This is a nice young celibate priest. And the reason I think of that this morning is this scene that comes into my mind when I hear this story of Mary and Martha. And it's this. So we used to go to their gatherings, which fantastic, wonderful food, lots of kids running around, kind of chaotic, you know, but just this sense of warmth. And in the middle of all this kind of chaotic scene, there's a few people gather around Abba. Abba's sitting in a chair, young guy, sitting in a chair. And people are gathered around him. And there's this beautiful young woman. And she has got her head resting on Abba's leg. There's nothing inappropriate about it in their culture. That's just what she does. She's got her head resting on Abba's leg. And she looks so content. So when I think about, when I have this image of Mary resting on this kind of similar scene of all kinds of things going on, and you know, people cooking and all this kind of stuff, I get that image of that young Ethiopian woman with her head resting on Abba's knee, in this case, Jesus' knee. So this is a very odd story, if you've been following along. And what's odd about this story of Mary and Martha is, does anybody remember what the story before this was? So this is a test, right? This is a test. Somebody said Good Samaritan, right? It's Good Samaritan. Story before this was the Good Samaritan. So, well, that's about doing things to help people, right? It's a very active story. Like somebody's on the side of the road. He's been, you know, assaulted by robbers. Nobody's going to do anything. And the Good Samaritan, whoever that is very active. He's taking care of him. He, you know, takes him to the inn. You know, he carries him on his donkey. Like he does all this stuff, right? And so you're kind of going, okay, we should be doing all this stuff. But then the next, Jesus tells the very next story comes around in the Gospel of Luke. And it's this story. It's, no, just rest your head on Abba's leg. Just sit. Just be still. And rest on him. And Martha, gotta chill. Gotta relax. And you're going, well, which is it? Which is it, Luke? Is it this one or is it that one? And so for one thing, one of the things we should get out of the way right away is the idea which priests have often said, so it's our fault, some of us are Marys and some of us are Marthas. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, like 100 times. But, you know, we say this sometimes. Well, let's get that out of the way right away. St. Augustine said back in the 5th century, St. Augustine says, both of these are us. We are both Mary and we're Martha. They're both inside of us. So what does Jesus mean? He's going, on the one hand, do all this stuff. You're doing ministry, you're active, you're taking care of the poor, you're people, you're taking people out of the ditch. On the other hand, don't be so busy, you know? Just put your head on Jesus' leg, like that young Ethiopian girl. So which is it? And what is he trying to say here? What's the point? There's a guy named Athenagoras. He was the patriarch of the East, from the 50s to the 70s in Istanbul, Eastern Church. He was the patriarch of the Eastern Church. And he lived in Istanbul. It's a tough place to be. You have a lot of different ethnic groups together, a lot of jostling. You know, people, I don't know, people, sometimes people in churches argue with each other, that kind of thing. And so he had to mediate a lot between people, Athenagoras, the patriarch. And his successor observed this about him. He said, when he was meeting between people, first thing he tried to do was get them together, right? You know, don't go on your Twitter feed and fight with each other, you know. Get together physically. First thing he tried to do, get people together physically. And then this is what he would say to him. He's quoting him. His successor's quoting him. He said, Athenagoras would say this, come, let us look one another in the eyes and let us see what we have to say to one another. So this is also the way I would tell you a little bit the way Athenagoras prayed, being from the East, and that is this. He believed that what we do need to do is open the inner chamber of our heart and become silent before the ultimate God, become silent before him, and experience his silence, experience God's silence. And experience that in his silence, there is a profound intimacy. It's like, you ever watch a young couple? And maybe it's not just young couples, I shouldn't say. But you know when young couple, they're first quite infatuated with each other. You watch them in a restaurant. You ever see this? They're sitting across from each other in a restaurant. They're copying the other person's every move, and they're staring into each other's eyes. I recently heard a Baptist pastor talk about counseling a young couple about to get married, and he said to her, the young woman, and could you tell me about Joe's faults? And she goes, I can. His only fault is he's too wonderful. He's just too kind. He's so nice. And he goes, I felt like kind of throwing up at that point, but anyway. But it's that point, right? Where people are drawn to each other. This is the way Patriarch Athenagoras would pray. just this silence, staring, the silent looking into the silence of God and experiencing his intimacy. It's the way he would have prayed. And as a result of that, he says, this is what we need to do with each other, talking about situations of conflict. This is what we need to do with each other. Be silent, rooted in God's silence, be silent, and be fully attentive. So what Jesus is saying here is that in order to welcome others, you know, like the Good Samaritan story, in order to welcome others, we first of all need to be rooted in the silent, loving gaze of Jesus himself. That's why he's commending Mary. He's not saying, Martha, your things you're doing are dumb. Not at all. They're necessary. But he's saying, first of all, he said, I just want to make sure when I tell you that story of the Good Samaritan that you understand this part, and that is all our hospitality towards others, our welcome, our work, our care for other people needs to be rooted in the silent and loving gaze between you and me. You have your head on my leg, rooted in this silence, in this prayer within our hearts. He says, otherwise it can become a kind of noise. This is what Jesus is saying. Do you remember the movie Chariots of Fire? Anybody remember that? So there's the two competitors, right? There's Eric Little, who is the Scottish guy. I don't know if you remember what he said. People asked him and his competitor why they ran. Do you remember this at all? Why they ran. Okay. So Eric Little says, I run because, this is a very Presbyterian answer, by the way. It's beautiful. I run because I feel the pleasure of God upon me when I run. The other guy, his competitor, says, I run because when the gun fires, I have 10 seconds to justify my existence. It's two very different things, right? So Jesus is encouraging us, offer ministry, offer hospitality, make space for the others, absolutely. And first of all, it's not going to justify your existence. What justified your existence is, well, I made you, and that you are rooted in my loving gaze, in that inner silent presence dialogue that I have with you. So my Ethiopian friends taught me at least a couple of things. One is that God is holy, and we need to be silent before him. If you watch these guys pray, it's really amazing. You would not doubt the existence of God if you saw a group of Ethiopians pray. There's no doubt about it. He's there, and they're just silently bowing before him. It's very powerful. They taught me that God is holy and silent, and they also taught me that out of that, the center of everything is hospitality. Out of God's hospitality for us flows our hospitality to others. So let us welcome Jesus. Let us be welcomed by him so that we can truly make space and welcome others and know what that means. Amen.